Thank you, Matt and the worship team. Man, you guys don't realize this because I haven't preached this message, but those songs are so good for this message. So good, Matt. Really prepared my heart, and I guess you guys will have to go back and listen to these songs after I preach this message to realize how much will prepare your heart. Yeah. My name is Pastor Greg, if you're a visitor here today. I was on vacation, me and my wife and children, last week. And so those of you who have never met me, I look forward to meeting you. And so if I get a chance or if you want to come up and say hi, I would sure love to meet you if this is your first time here. Pastor Jason preached last week in our continuing series in Revelation on the church in Sardis and the plastic people of Sardis. And Jason, what a blessing it is to know that you are faithfully preaching the word while I'm gone, and a huge blessing to this church. And so thank you. And you know, what a blessing this whole church is. It was good to be away and how much I miss you, but there's a lot that goes into a church. I mean, do you know that? The setup crew that put up these chairs and the nursery people who are watching those kids right now that aren't yours or that aren't theirs. That's a huge blessing. You should know that. You have to live with them all the day. The technology people back there, they're a huge blessing to be able to not have to hold sheet music and read music that way. I'm very grateful for this church and the people in it that know Jesus Christ and proclaim His name on a daily basis and want to live it out. And so it's just good to be back, and you know, I always say it's good to be home. At High Point Church, God's church. So, that being said, we're going to continue our series in the book of Revelation. And this morning, we have an encouraging church. Like Smyrna, the other church of the seven churches, this church was not rebuked by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but only encouraged them. And I got to tell you, as I studied this while I was in New Jersey, and yes, we took a vacation to New Jersey, I'll explain to that later. I mean, people do take vacations to Jersey. I so desire this church to be like the church in Philadelphia. And it should be our heart's desire to be like the church in Philadelphia. And this morning, I kind of want to unpack a little bit about why this church was not rebuked. Why God, why Jesus Christ was so encouraged and continued to exhort this very church. So if you have your Bibles, follow along with me in Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 7. If you have your bulletins, grab those. Follow along with me. If not, grab your Bibles and go to the very last book of your New Testament. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know you have but little strength or power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those in the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow at your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you because you have kept my word and about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one will seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on it the name of God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from God, from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I ask for your blessing on, Lord, the message I'm about to preach. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak for me and that it would change the very words of my mouth to make it give strength and power to the hearers. And that, God, you would get all the glory from this message. God, encourage your church at High Point to be the church like Philadelphia for your glory and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, there was a time in my life when I thought the world was going to end. I was in second grade, and my teacher told my mom I couldn't see the blackboard, and I needed to get my eyes checked. Now, I thought I saw pretty good. I thought you could go like this and see better when you sat in the back row, and it worked. Well, my mom took me to Omaha because we lived in a small town, and Omaha was the closest place to get glasses back then. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting before this man, and he's telling me, "You see this E? Which way is it going? This way, or this way?" And I'm like, "What E?" He's like, "Okay, let's start something else. Is this one better or is this one better? Is this one better? Is this one better?" And if anybody here has ever had glasses, know that what he's doing is fitting you for some glasses. Your vision is not so clear. Well, I got to tell you, and those of you who wear glasses, and I used to until I had laser eye surgery, I didn't want to wear glasses. Now, I'm going to put a picture up, and if you ever use this picture, this is why I didn't want to wear glasses. Okay? Back in those days, I think my parents wanted my cheeks to see as clearly as my eyes. Now, this guy never had a date until he met his wife. No, those of you who have glasses, praise the Lord. I didn't see very clearly. But I tell you, when I got those corrective lenses, it was a whole new world. Can you relate? Remember when you put on those first pair of glasses or you could see clearly? It's a whole new world when you can see clearly. This morning, the Church of Philadelphia saw clearly. And this morning, we can learn a little bit about Philadelphia so that we as a church can begin to see clearly. Because when you don't see clearly, you aren't getting what all life has to offer. And what Jesus wants us to know is there is so much that the church can do and be for His glory that if only we would see clearly, we would begin to understand that. This morning, Philadelphia, just to give you a little insight, Philadelphia was the center. I mean, it was a small city, the smallest of the seven churches, the smallest. And yet they were the center of all the happenings of Greek culture. They were the superhighway to all of Asia. I mean, you went through Philadelphia to get to other parts of Asia Minor. Basically, what the Greek culture did was they would hone in on Philadelphia. And then from there, the Greek language would spread out. Greek culture would spread out. All of Greek mythology or the study of their pagan gods would spread out from Philadelphia. It was literally a superhighway for knowledge for people. And what God was going to do with Philadelphia, I'm going to come back to why that is such an important piece of information that Philadelphia was such a center for spreading Greek culture and what Jesus wanted Philadelphia to be in regards to a Christian testimony. But let me back up and just Let's talk a little bit about what made Philadelphia so much encouraged by our Lord and Savior. I'm going to move just to chapter 3, verse 8. So just follow along with me real quick. Jesus says, I know your works. And that's always a comforting statement throughout the church's revelation. Jesus knows what's going on in the church at all times. He knows what's going on in here. He knows what's going on in your hearts. That's a very comforting, sovereign thing to know that our God knows. He says, I know what's going on, Philadelphia. Behold, I have set before you an open door. And I'm going to come back to this, which no one is able to shut. And he says, I know that you have but little power. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Now, what Jesus is saying here, you have to know a little bit about Greek. And what he's saying there is not that they don't have a lot of strength, that they're weak. What he's saying here is that he's implying that they don't rely on their strength. They rely fully on God's strength. So what he's saying is, I know you guys aren't of mighty strength because you're relying on me. So it's implying that they're not weak, but strong in the Lord. You just kind of have to know Greek to understand that it's a different way in which they're saying it. We'd say that's, man, you're kind of trashing them, aren't you, Jesus? No. He's saying, you have little strength, but you have much strength in me. Okay? There's a quote, and I'm going to kind of back it up with this just to kind of fish you in a little bit. Vance Havner said this quote, and follow along with me. Maybe it'll help a little bit with this little power. He says this, it is not a matter of great strength, not great ability, but great dependability. Samson of the New Testament had great ability, but poor dependability. A little strength faithfully used means more than much strength flashily and fitfully used. See, that's what Philadelphia was all about. They understood that they got their strength from the Lord. You know, Paul did this too. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, listen to these verses. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, Paul understood. Paul got it. And the church in Philadelphia got it. They had little strength, but took much strength from the Lord. The church in Philadelphia kept the word. Verse 8 says, I know you have little power, yet you have kept my word. Now again, in the Greek, there are two different words for, let me skip that for a second. I'll come back to that. The meaning behind this is not that they just believed. In a sense, they kept the word. It's the meaning of saying they have kept my word and it's caused them to be active in their works. So in other words, they said they believed in Jesus' words. They said that they wanted to follow Jesus, and they did it. What Jesus is saying is, you've kept my word. You've listened to what I've said, and you've done it. It's a good thing, Philadelphia. You're not just a church that is all about words. You're about doing. And that's what they did. You know, it's easy for churches to claim they believe, but ultimately, isn't it the actions that show? That's what James says in chapter 1. Faith without works is dead. It's not the works that save us, but it's the very works that show that we believe. It's obedience. You know, Philadelphia was given open doors, it says. And I'm going to come back to this in a little bit. But just understand that God gives open doors when we are faithful. When we're living out our Christian life. always ready to be prepared, are always prepared to give an account of the hope that's in you, as 1 Peter 3:15 says. Philadelphia understood. They saw clearly what they were supposed to do as Christians. And you know, it's easy for us to just say, you know, that's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, they kept the word. They believed. I mean, it's pretty simple. Yet I got to think that it's really hard. And so as I studied this, I just really want to draw out 2 points, and that's where I'm going to bring back some of these verses. On what it takes to really see clearly. You know, because honestly, when I got glasses, before I ever got glasses, I thought I could see. I thought that what I was seeing was exactly fine. I thought that, you know, the fact that the blackboard was really blurry, I thought everyone thought the blackboard was blurry. I mean, I was so misguided in what it meant to see. And so I think what we can learn from Philadelphia is how truly to see clearly. Because Philadelphia did. And the first thing I see is that we need to see Jesus clearly. And what does that mean? To see Jesus clearly. Is it just to say, I believe in Jesus. I've seen the picture of Jesus. You know, he has that long beard and sweet hair. And I mean, I can see him. He's pretty cool. I want to hang with that dude. Now, that's not the kind of seeing I'm talking about. I mean, to really see Jesus is to understand who he is, what he came to do, and how he impacts your life. Philadelphia saw Jesus clearly. How do I know that? Well, let's see how Jesus describes himself and how we need to see him. You ready? Let's go back to verse 7. It said the angel, it means the pastor in the church in Philadelphia, the words of the Holy One. So Jesus is describing himself as the Holy One. What does that mean? Well, anytime the Bible talks about being holy, basically what it's talking about there is being totally set apart from sin. We, as a church, need to see that Jesus is perfectly holy. He is set apart from all sin. He is God. And he became a man to die for the sins of all mankind. Jesus is holy. You know, we sang the song about Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh, his name. That means that's the personal name of God. That's the personal name. That's Jesus. Do you see him as the Holy One set apart for you? See, the problem is we're not holy. We are far from holy. And because we're far from holy, we need to see a Holy One. And when you see clearly who Jesus is, the Holy One, set apart, you begin to understand what Jesus did for you. He says, I'm the true one. Well, this is the one where I was talking about. There's two words in the Greek which talk about being true. One means true but not false. Or true but the opposite of false. Okay? The other Greek word is true, but not fake, or genuine, real. That's the Greek word here. Jesus is saying, not only am I holy, but I'm the real deal. You know those pagan gods that everyone worships on these pillars and all these things? They are fake. They are not genuine. Jesus is real. Now, I know you've never seen him. I've never seen him. 1 Peter says, blessed are those who will never see him but believe. So how do I know he is the true one? Because he changed my life. Because he changed some of your lives. Because he wants to change your life. Because he's given you a void in your heart that knows you need God. That you need forgiveness of sins. That's why we know He is true. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, He is the genuine Savior of the world, and we have to place our trust in Him. Do you see Him clearly? Jesus is not some imagined person that never lived on this earth or some figment of our imagination. He died on a cross for our sins. He is real. Do you see Him? Then it says He holds the key. He has the key of David. What does that mean? Well, anytime it talks about that, it's basically a statement or an expression of authority. What Jesus is saying is, I hold the very key of salvation. No other name can you be saved but through Jesus Christ. I have the key. I have the authority. I can admit people and I can exclude people. So the question is, have you acknowledged His authority in your life? Have you made Him your Lord and Savior? When you place your trust and your reliance in Jesus Christ, you are saying, you get my life. My life no longer belongs to myself. I place my complete trust in You for the forgiveness of my sins. And I will follow You, Lord. You get my life. You know, the Colossians, in the book in Colossians, Paul says this, to really explain the preeminence of Christ. I want you to understand what kind of authority Jesus has, okay? Because if you are not seeing Jesus clearly, He kind of just becomes this nice little thing you put alongside your walk. Like, you know, Jesus is okay, you know, but you need to get a real glimpse of who Jesus is, all right? So look at Colossians chapter 1. It's a little bit of a verse, so just follow along with me, okay? But really, would you let this verse soak in? I mean, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scriptures inspired by God, profitable for reproof, for correction, instructions in righteousness. You need to know that this verse is inspired by God so that you would see Jesus clearly. So it says, He is, meaning Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that everything He might have or be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. That is Jesus. Do you see Him? Do you see Him for His full glory? Or do you need corrective lenses? Because if you're not seeing Jesus clearly, you don't know who you're following. You're like me in the blackboard. You're like, I kind of think I know Jesus. When you get a glimpse of the holy, true, and the one who holds the keys of David, you begin to know who you're following. And your life changes. And you begin to see clearly. High Point Church, I want to see clearly. When I start to lose focus on who Jesus is, I start to see the world bigger than I see Jesus. I start to see my problems bigger than I see Jesus. I start to let other things bother me than looking at Jesus. Did He create everything? Yes. Is everything that's going on in my life right now part of Jesus' plan? Yes. When you see Jesus clearly. To be the church like Philadelphia, you've got to begin to see Jesus clearly. Who He is. What He did. And why we need to live for Him. Because he is worthy to be praised. Do you see Jesus clearly? Secondly, and final point. Once you see Jesus clearly, and just like Philadelphia, when they saw Jesus clearly, it led to them seeing their mission clearly. See, now don't put the cart before the horse. It's really hard to understand your mission when you're not seeing Jesus clearly. Because then the mission becomes more about you than about Jesus. And that's where frustration comes in. Trust me, I've been there. Too often. You get down. You get frustrated. And I'm just not seeing Jesus clearly. And then the mission becomes a little bit foggy. See, Philadelphia saw their mission clearly. Remember when I told you about Philadelphia being this great route to spread the Greek culture, the way of life, the language? Philadelphia, because they saw Jesus clearly, Jesus said, you are going to be an evangelistic route. Because you see me clearly, your mission is clear. It doesn't matter if they kick you out of the synagogues. That's what he's saying. You know, it was customary for Christians who knew Jesus. The place they would go were the synagogues because that's where people were. So why not talk about Jesus at the synagogues where people were? Well, guess what? The people who claimed to be Jews persecuted the Christians and said they were no longer able to go there. Jesus said, doesn't matter. Your mission is clear. Listen to what he says in verse 7. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. See, when you see Jesus clearly, when you have your mission is clear, doors are weighed wide open for the gospel to be spread. No one could shut out God. If he's working in you and through you, he will bring you to the people he wants you to meet. See, when we don't see clearly and our mission isn't clear, we become inward focused instead of outward focused. And I got to tell you, I've been there. And it's not a great place to be. You start arguing about the color of carpet and whether the music's too loud. Instead of wondering whether your neighbor knows Jesus or not. When your mission is clear, circumstances don't matter. I mean, do you hear me there? When you see Jesus for who he is, your mission becomes very clear. And it doesn't matter what happens in your life, who your boss is, where God's put you, your mission is clear. And the doors are open. It was a theme throughout the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16:9, 2 Corinthians 2:12. Paul always referred to an open door for the gospel. Do you have an open door? Or maybe things are just a little bit fuzzy for you. Listen, when I got glasses, and then I had laser eye surgery, I still don't see perfectly. But when I set my mind on things that are above, I'm seeing exactly where God wants me to see. Not on things that are on earth, but things that are above, where Jesus is seated, right next to the Father, as Jason alluded to. You know, Jesus sees people differently, doesn't he? Than you and I. You know how Jesus sees people? People that know him or don't know him. How do you see people? Do you see people based on their demographics or how much they have or don't have? See, when we see Jesus clearly, we see our mission clearly, and we see people clearly. You know, verse 12 says this in Revelation 3, and I'm going to kind of conclude with this. But he says in verse 12, it says, "The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God." You know why that's important in the Philadelphian culture? Because those philanthropists in Philadelphia, the ones who gave the big money, who had this aura of having it all together, well, the church in Philadelphia would write their names on the pillars and say, "Oh, these people are so awesome." But you know what would happen with these pillars over time? And you got to know, Philadelphia was known for its earthquakes. And so they would be rebuilding the city all the time. And in AD 17, it was completely wiped out. They rebuilt it, and they'd put up these pillars. And what Jesus is saying is, you see those pillars with all those people's names? They're going to fade, like you've seen when the earthquake comes. But when I write your name up there, it will be up there forever. No one can knock it out. No one can do anything when I write your name in the book of life. Is your name written in the book of life? Would you say you're a person that Jesus knows? You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, he saw Peter. He saw the disciples. He saw. Has he seen you? And I'm guessing there's some of you in this room that need to see Jesus for the first time as the holy, true Messiah. And place your trust in him alone, believing that he died for your sins and rose again on the third day and gave victory over all sin. And that you want Jesus to change your life for his glory, making him Lord and Savior of your life. Do you see him clearly? A lady that I worked with at Wells Fargo, when I was in New Jersey, believe it or not, when I worked at Wells Fargo, I used to share the gospel with people. I mean, I didn't really like working there. I love the company, those of you who work for Wells Fargo, praise the Lord. But I really looked at Wells Fargo as an opportunity to share the gospel. You know, granted, I need to pay bills, I have 5 kids, praise the Lord. They eat a lot. But I really saw Wells Fargo, where I worked, as an opportunity to share the gospel. Whenever God would put me in those places. Sometimes I messed up and, you know, just any number of things. But I saw my mission was clear. I'm not just here to make money. I'm here to share with this person or maybe that person and be praying for this person and that person. There was this girl that I used to talk to. She was a teller and I was a banker. And she just struggled with just different things, relationships and things like that. And just the sweetest girl. Sweetest girl. And I just, you know, these are these girls that you're just like, man, I just wish you knew Jesus. Because no guy will ever fulfill what Jesus can fulfill in her life. You know, as Proverbs 20 says, who can find a faithful man? You know? She needed Jesus. She needed to see Jesus and life would be better. But you know, until God is working, you can just share and pray that God does a work there. I haven't talked to her in years. Well, since I'd worked at Wells Fargo at the bank, so almost 2 years. She Facebooked me on Wednesday. I haven't talked to her, seen her, done, you know, I see things on Facebook and praise God for Facebook. Yeah, I just said that. Mark that one down as stupid things to say. Well, she Facebooked me and said, "Greg, my life's a mess. And I remember you talking about Jesus and telling me about how he changed your life. Will you tell me about him again? Will you share with me again about Jesus?" I'm meeting with her today at 8 o'clock. So be praying for me. Because I want to point her to the holy, true Messiah. Because that's the only hope she has to see clearly. The question is, are we of a church seeing clearly? Do we see Jesus who he really is? Not just this Jesus on these pictures that we see. Not just this Jesus that has product in his hair and nice beard. But the holy true Messiah. What Colossians chapter 1 says is Jesus. Knowing he is your Lord. And it leads to a clear mission. I want High Point's mission to be clear. The furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. Can't be any more clear. The things that we do in this church have to have that be the direction. Anything outside of that is very fuzzy for people. And I remember what it was like to have fuzzy vision. And I love being able to see clearly now. And it's only because of the grace of God. So, do you see clearly? My prayer is that we as a church grow in our vision for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the church in Philadelphia. And Lord, you were encouraged by their work. And as a result of their vision, you gave them open doors. God, we want open doors. And Lord, I know there are people in here that have never seen you clearly the way they need to see you clearly. They've never surrendered their life to you. They've never said, I will follow you, Jesus. They just know the baby Jesus. God, I'm praying for that person right now that they would surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, the holy true Messiah, the one and only God. And then, Lord, for us that do know you, Lord, that maybe we need to get our eyes checked again. Maybe we need to ask somebody to say, how you seeing? How you seeing Jesus today? Is he kind of fuzzy? Well, let me point you back to Jesus. Can we get real in this place, God? Can you help us be accountable? Can you help us have real questions? Not about the Bears or the Packers or the greatest football team ever, the Colts. But real conversations about our spiritual welfare, and asking people if they're seeing clearly. God, we love you and we want to see you. And we thank you for the work you're doing. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. Matt closes us.